Yesterday USA. I'm Tom Hunter. Welcome to Rabbit Tracks.
Rabbit Tracks.
The funny bunnies, Bouncer Bunny and Ginger Rabbit, present the comic, the strange, and the unusual. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome to show number 44, where Sam Hardcider and Muggins don't know they're being overheard. Let's listen.
Hoi, Sam.
Hello, Bo. What you know?
I just found out something amazing.
Yeah? What's that, Bo?
I'm from another planet.
Aliens from the worlds beyond are right here among us. What planet you from, Bo?
I'm from the planet Earth.
This is the planet Earth.
Is it?
Just a second, Bo. I'll look out the window. Yep, this is Earth, all right. What planet did you think it was?
Oh, I thought it was the planet Zorax.
Did you use a simulaceron to propel your ship to the planet Zorax?
No, I used a 20 mule team.
Tell me, Bo, what do you do for a living?
Oh, what do you mean?
Where do you sleep?
On my left side, with my feet behind my ears.
Well, how do you eat?
With a fork and spoon.
Yeah, don't you use a knife?
They won't let me have a knife.
How do you eat your peas?
With a straw.
Couldn't you use your fork?
Oh, they fall through, see?
That's a pitchfork, Bo. What do you eat with that?
It's perfect for hay.
You eat hay?
Sure, it's got lots of fiber. Squash a few tomatoes on there and it's just like spaghetti.
Oh yeah, I'd like to try that.
Well, I have an extra bale. Here.
Oh, blimey. I've been hitting the elbow with a bale of hay.
Oh, sorry. Open your mouth wider next time.
Why don't you get a job, Bo?
That sounds too much like work.
Find something you're good at and get paid for it.
Something I'm good at, hey? That could be almost anything.
While Muggins decides what career to pursue, let's hear from the Hardly Worth It players.
This is Chet Hartley.
And this is David Worth It.
The Spanish Broadcasting Company presents the Hardly Worth It coverage of The Voyage of Christopher Columbus. And now, here is Davy Worth It.
Good evening, and welcome to Ferdinand Control. We are now 2 months, 10 days, 23 hours, and 14 seconds into the mission. Columbus is due to land in India any minute now if he doesn't fall off the edge of the world.
For those who missed the launch 71 days ago, let's take a brief look at the countdown on our instant videotape replay.
8, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Uno, blast off.
That sounded like the launching of the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. I think the line has just been sighted, David, so let's switch now to a live report from Peter Hackney on board the Pinta. Come in, Peter Hackney.
This is Peter Hackney.
For a change, we seem to have lost complete contact with our live pickups. David, do you have any trivial information for us?
Yes, I do, Chet. I could mention here that the Santa Maria was named after St. Mary. The Nina was named after Nina Simone. And the Pinta was named after their left port. I think we better go very quickly to get that report from Peter Hackney. Come in, Peter.
This is Peter Hackney on board the Pinta. And it is true, land has been sighted. Christopher Columbus has discovered the New World. Columbus has gone ashore with a map and is arguing with a group of natives. Columbus knows he's in the wrong place, but he keeps calling them Indians anyway. He has therefore decided to name this country after America's Vespucci. But no one seems to be able to keep a straight face when they start singing God Bless Vespucci.
Thank you, Peter. Well, Columbus has done it. This certainly puts us years ahead of the Portuguese. Portugal, you remember, sent out an unmanned ship 2 months ago, which was later found in a bottle off the coast of France. We have received, via our communications satellite system, the first picture back from the New World. Here on the rear screen projection, you can see clearly Columbus's right leg and foot as he steps on land for the first time. Chet?
Well, there you have it, David. On this October 12, 1492, Columbus has discovered the New World.
Or America, or San Salvador, or India. But in any case, the Earth is round. However, it may be years before we discover why, if it is round, we do not fall off at the bottom. Happy Columbus Day, Chet.
Happy Columbus Day, David.
Oi. Hello, Muggins. Do you like dogs?
Yes.
Woof, 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 woof.
Muggins, you're not a dog.
Oh.
You're not a chicken either. Are you trying to tell me something? All right, what's going on?
Sam said I should find something I'm good at and make a career out of it.
Holy Muggins, cow, that's not what he meant. Meanwhile, in the sewer below the barn.
There's the idiot who's going to make us rich.
Eh, goody, I've always wanted to be rich.
Then climb out of this sewer and follow my lead. Excuse me, young man, do you have money in your pockets?
No, cows don't have pockets.
Then that's it, Baron. The open the hamburger stand. Just put your foot in this meat grinder, Charlie.
Wait a minute. We can't delay. I've already chopped the onion.
Well, there you are. I don't like onion, and I won't be served with it.
Blast. Foiled again.
Not so fast, Baron. How do you know you don't like being served with onion?
The sheriff served me with one, and I didn't like it at all.
Let me see that onion, young man. Here you go. This isn't an onion. It's a summons.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
Have you committed any crime?
I have some under my fingernails.
You have what?
I have grime under my fingernails.
Have you broken the law?
Oh, I knocked a baseball through a window last week.
Oh, then you did break the law.
No, I broke the window.
Whose window was it?
The sheriff's.
So that's why he served you with an onion.
What did you tell him?
Moo! There goes an intelligent cow.
And here comes Benny Hill.
Orange tree, me plant corn, up come corn, plant bran, up come bran. Last year hear me plant Indian and up come Chinaman. His daughters came to stay with us, but my brother Charlie got in fussed. He got the one called Lorna Doone. I got her sister Nothing Doone.
The story so far. Vinegar Sam has convinced Muggins to take up a career as a cow. The Baron and the Count have failed to talk Muggins the cow into joining their hamburger stand. A pogo stick enters the studio and Hot Rod steps off. Oh. Hot Rod, your pogo stick just bounced out of the studio.
Oh, boogers! I forgot to turn it off!
Did you hear that Muggins is studying to become a cow?
What color?
I don't know. Brown, I guess.
How can he be a brown cow now?
With lots of practice.
Ooh!
You don't look like a cow!
Oh, what does a cow look like, Hot Rod?
It's red with skinny legs and a beak. Can you look like that? Burk, burk,
burk, burk, burk, burk, burk.
That's better!
Is that really what a cow looks like?
No, but it tastes better with barbecue sauce. Come here and put some of this on your head.
Not me. You know it's dangerous being an animal.
Is it?
Sure. It's hardly worth the money. I almost signed a contract to be a pig.
Bad deal, huh?
Well, for the first year it was okay. You just lay around in the mud and eat. But then I read the small print and suddenly it's whap, bacon and bangers.
Eh, what about ham?
I don't want to talk about ham.
So you didn't make it as a pig. What else have you tried?
Well, I tried being a cute little lamb for a while.
What happened when you were a lamb?
It wasn't bad until one day they herded us into the barn to shave off our wool.
Ew, what happened when they took your wool coat?
Bill yelled at me to get my trousers back on.
It doesn't sound like you're going to make it as a farm animal.
Well, what else could I try?
How about King of the Jungle?
Oh, I could never get elected king. I wasn't even born in a log cabin.
Eh, where was he born?
My grandma told me I was hatched in a cabbage patch.
And you believe that?
I have proof. I have cabbage patches on my knees.
I don't see no patches.
You can see them if I roll up my trouser legs.
You have holes in your knees?
Don't be ridiculous. The patches are to keep them from bending.
Yeah, but your knees are supposed to bend.
Not forward, they're not.
What does all this have to do with being a lion?
Oh, I could never be a liar. My grandma told me that it's not nice to tell lies.
When did she tell you that?
Just before she told me I was hatched in a cabbage patch.
Well, how about a tiger?
No, thanks. I just ate lunch.
I had bananas for lunch.
I had bananas, too.
I didn't know you could make bananas into a stew. Did you have celery and onions in it?
Did I have celery and onions in what?
In your banana stew.
No, Hot Rod, I didn't have banana stew. I had bananas also.
Oh, I see. What, did you have celery and onions in your banana also?
Do you have a banana left?
Yeah, I have one left, and I have one right.
Give me the left one.
Here you go. What are you going to do with it?
Open your mouth.
Uh-uh.
Oh, come on.
Uh-uh.
Boy, am I tired. Good. Now I can listen to Danny Kaye.
Once a carpenter met a walrus where the sea was green and grand, but the beach was wide from side to side and much too full of sand. Mr. Walrus, said the carpenter, my brain's begun to perk. We'll sweep it clear in half a year if you don't mind the work. Work? The time has come, the walrus said, to speak of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. Kaloo, Kalena, work today, we're cabbages and kings. Little oysters, said the walrus, we invite you one and each, for a pleasant talk, a pleasant walk along the briny beach. But the eldest of the oysters simply shook his heavy head. He grieved and peeved and hollered, don't leave your happy oyster bed. But the time has come, the walrus said, to speak of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. Kaloo, Kalay, come run away with cabbages and kings. So the oysters went to follow, and their shells and shoes were neat. But I fear, my dear, you'll find this queer, because they had no feet. Soon the oysters all were out of breath, and they said, let's stop and chat, 'cause most of us are ready to rest. You see, we're much too fat. Fat? The time has come, the walrus said, to speak of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. Kaloo, Kalay, we eat today like cabbages and kings. Oh, I weep for you, said the walrus, and I deeply sympathize. Then he held his pocket handkerchief before his streaming eyes. Little oysters, said the carpenter, but answer there came none. And this was scarcely odd, because they'd eaten everyone. Oh, the time has come, the walrus said, to speak of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, of cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. Kaloo, Kalay, a lucky day for cabbages and kings.
Bwah. Friends, Zeke has a wonderful announcement to make. After an extensive study by his accountants, Zeke has invented a new way for you to buy a drovgas. Yes, instead of walking to your corner store to buy an drovga for a dollar, you can hop in the car and drive to your nearest pet store to buy a registered pet drovga for $50. Drovgas make wonderful pets for your children. They're clean. In fact, they eat anything in sight. Trash, garbage, furniture, rugs, mice, small children, and other pests. You won't have to buy a cage for your pet drovga. There's no point. It will just eat its way out. Obviously, you won't have to buy expensive pet food. And you won't need a water bowl for your new pet. It will get plenty of water as it eats the plumbing. Pet drovgas are educational. They'll teach your child respect for other living things, fear of living things, self-defense. Your pet drovga will be a unique conversation piece. Just wait till you hear what your neighbors have to say. But the most wonderful thing about a pet drovga that sets it apart from other household pets is that when you get tired of it, you can eat it. Try that with a cat. So pick up a big chain and take it to your favorite pet store and treat your family to a lovable, cuddly, friendly, mean-tempered, vicious pet drovga. And remember, the best pets have the big Z stamped in the top. If it's good, it's got to be Zeke's.
Now we welcome you to an episode of Wing Po, the true-to-life story of a Chinese philosopher who wanders across the American frontier in search of work. As our action-packed drama begins today, Wing Po is approaching a homesteader's cabin to offer his services.
Howdy there, young fella. You're kind of far away from home, ain't you?
The words you speak are true, but equally it is so that he who never journeys far from home is like the bow that can only wander where the arrow may fly.
Well, there may be some truth in that. Look, even if there ain't, you're welcome to come in here and share a plate of beans.
Such kindness will not go unremembered, for it is rare to see the hawk display compassion for the meadowlark, even though both must share the same sky.
Does that mean you don't want any beans?
No, I will eat with you, for two who share the sustenance of life together are much the same as raindrops falling from the sky. They know not where they go, and yet the fate of each is like the others.
Say, you wouldn't happen to be that Chinese philosopher who tried to open up a new wisdom dispensary there in Junction City a while back, would you?
I am the one. But sadly, the times have become hard for the people there, and there's little money left for them to spend on philosophy. All last month, I sold only two parables about the owl and the dragon. Thus, I now go elsewhere in search of work.
Well, I reckon we can always use another hand around the place here. There's wood to chop and there's...
Oh, your kindness overwhelms, but one must never chop wood, for it is a thing to be studied. In each bend and swirl of the grain, there is a story of some forgotten windstorm. And as the twig was bent, so did the tree incline.
Yeah, well, I guess a fella could study wood if he wanted to, but... Say, I only got $30 a month to spend on hired help, and I was figuring on getting my kindling chopped for the winter on that.
You're a gentleman and one in need of wisdom. From you, I shall seek only $25 each month. And because I like you, I will study your wood and throw in my flute music for nothing.
Well, I reckon that's a bargain, right enough. So, 25 it is.
You have acted wisely. And as I've often said, he who pays his money to buy knowledge is enriched. He who buys only the labor of a man stays poor in spirit.
Harley, who in the world are you talking to out here?
I am Wing Po. I have traveled many miles seeking the ear of those who wish to hear my wisdom.
Well, I can certainly believe you've been on the road all right, all mud-caked all over the bottom of your kimono there.
I've learned to live with the dust of the trail upon my being. For he who is pure within himself is cleansed on the outside as well.
Wing Po's a philosopher, Jessica. See, I've signed him on as a hired hand to read a wood for us.
And I am grateful.
Wait, what? You signed him on to do what?
I shall explain. Within each log of wood, there is a story waiting to be told. A story often held for many years in silence. But now you shall hear each tale that the swirls and rings within the bark may have to tell.
Well, that's just about the nuttiest thing I ever heard. Of course, Harley really takes the cake for hiring you to do it. Now you just pick up your flute and get off this property.
But knowledge gained is the soul's nourishment, and the brain is like wind chimes in still
air. I'm going to count to three and then blow your head off.
No, please, no violence. I go, for it is so written in my destiny. So our hero moves on to his next adventure. Be sure to join us again soon for more action-packed excitement in the thrilling life of Wing Po.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing Mr. Charlie Muggins in his new career.
Vroom! And now here he is, the man who took up a career Here he is, the man who made the career of loafing and told everybody he was a baker, Bill Bragg.